Hello, everybody. My name is Julien. I'm the co-founder and chief customer officer of Adviso. So please welcome to the Adviso podcast series of 2021. In the next couple of months, we will run a series of podcasts from our water and energy expert, our client and partner. We hope you will enjoy this series of podcasts and will be able to learn about successes, experiences from the industry, and more importantly, gather insight about the future of the utilities. In our two-day podcast, we will spend time with Dragan Savic, the CEO of KWF Water Institute and professor of hydroinformatics at the University of Exeter. In this interview, Dragan will give his insight about the future of water saving, the starting journey of net zero carbon for water utilities, and overall, the impact of the previous item on the customer engagement for the water industry. Enjoy the podcast.
In your opinion, how are water utilities in the UK and the EU currently performing towards their water saving and conservation goals?
Yeah, over the last 30 years, there's been quite a lot of improvement, I think, water savings achieved have been quite substantial in Western Europe. From the 1990, for example, it declined from 94 liters per person to 152 liters per person in 2017. And in the UK, we are somewhere around 140 liters per person per day. So that shows that there has been quite an improvement in water efficiency in households in particular.
What's actually driven those efficiencies then?
I think there are several reasons for that, obviously. In the UK, I think it's the realization that instead of that being part of the general tax or general local taxes, it became a clear water bill and people started realizing that they pay for what they use. And also, and again, I'm talking about the UK situation, whereas previously we didn't have meters. Now it's quite a lot of water companies moving to almost universal metering, some of them even to smart metering. And that brings more opportunity for us customers to realize how much do we spend on water or do we waste water? So that's the key, I think, that happened over time. And I think we as a population, we realize that impact on the environment is important. We are becoming more and more environmentally conscious, and water makes an important part of that contribution to our environment.
Certainly. I know in the UK, I mean, I was just driving the other day and I heard a water conservation advert from Severn Trent, who's my local water company, on the radio. And that was new to me. But I definitely think it's going, it's sort of increasing in our psyche.
And, you know, those water companies are good at sharing that message, but they're also putting kind of the money where their mouth is by giving free water-saving devices. So in many areas, you can get a water bath or you can get something that you put in your big toilet system to reduce the volume of flush, even if you don't have those modern water-efficient toilets. So I think we are all kind of contributing to this drive for water efficiency.
Definitely moving in the right direction. What would you say are some of the greatest water conservation challenges that Britain and the EU face?
Yes, this is something that is not going to get easier because our water resources in the UK, but also worldwide, are under high pressure, increasing pressure from changing climate and population changes. We all seen that, the changes, one spring we are in drought and then in summer we get flooding. So the extremes are becoming more extreme. And freshwater resources per person are on the decline. So there will be a need to save in water and reduce that consumption. And that is going to become difficult. So there need to be also, it's not just us, the customers, it's also the water companies, because they're doing quite a lot on improving their network so that the water is not lost there. But we have to kind of provide that contribution. I think also because of the population changes, the movements that are happening, globalization, you see more and more kind of mobility within the workforce, there will be dynamic changes to demand, and our system will have to cope with that. So even if I give you a very simple example, during the night we don't use much water, and then during the day we use more. So the system has to be designed for that peak when everybody is using water. And if you have the movement of population in the future, that means that your system has to be bigger now in order to accommodate potential changes in the future. So there will be lots of challenges, I think, for the water sector in particular.
Okay. Are there any new or forthcoming regulatory changes that we should be aware of or paying attention to relating to water conservation that are either new or coming up?
Well, the UK and all the countries in Europe and many countries around the world have looked into their commitments to carbon reduction, you know, green, blue spaces, environment and climate action objectives. So the UK is part of that as well. And that legislation is not going to be relaxed. If anything, it will become more stringent. And reduction in the saving or savings in water means also savings in energy, because that water needs to be treated and moved, and pumping and moving water is energy intensive, because, you know, 1 cubic meter of water weighs a ton. And in order to move that, you need quite a lot of energy. So, yeah, I can see that we all signed up to the United Nations 2030 Agenda, Sustainable Development Goals. All of those will feed into legislation that will make things more kind of inclined towards water efficiency. And in Europe, the latest European Commission proposal for the eighth Environment Action Programme from 2020 to 2030 supports that environment and climate action objectives, and they have this European Green Deal, and I'm pretty sure the UK will do something similar.
Okay. We talked a little bit of, about sort of public awareness. What do you think water companies can actually do to help their customers reduce water consumption?
Well, first of all, it's the engagement of customers that is important. They can try to, you know, out of sight, out of mind, pumps and pipes and everything that brings that water into our house. We get it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we kind of forget that it's there, because it's normal. Only when we don't get it, we kind of become aware of the water issues. And so any improvements in water conservation, will help prevent water shortages in the future. And I think one of the key kind of messages from the COVID situation is the importance of water and access to water, say, for washing our hands, for hygiene, because hygiene has become kind of much more important in the public's mind because of the COVID situation. And also that this important essential service is still being delivered in these very difficult times.
I think I'd read that, is it right, 50 litres per person is considered the daily minimum needed to meet basic requirements? And what did you say we were on, about 150?
Yeah, in the UK, we are about 140 and 150 overall in Europe. So, yeah, that 50 is just absolute minimum for, you know, maintaining life and hygiene. But as I said, we flush this treated, clean, pristine water down the toilet quite often in our houses.
And more regularly because of COVID, obviously, with washing requirements.
Yes. So there is a obviously a change in pattern, and there is anecdotal evidence that because we are now staying at home, we are using water at home that we would normally use at the place of work. So the companies had to deal with these changes. Some of them had to deal with huge changes. If you have, for example, Heathrow or Amsterdam Schiphol Airport in your water supply system, that demand has gone down substantially. We're talking about millions and millions of liter reduction in demand. So they have to cope with that.
Okay. Can we talk a little bit about KWR and the research that you're doing at the moment? What areas relating to water saving and customer engagement are you guys currently researching?
Yeah, when people talk about KWR and research that we do in the water sector, we normally focus on the technologies, but we also do quite a lot of research in terms of how water saving and customer engagement are essential for sustainable supply of this high quality water to customers. So we have part of research that looks into the user, into the client. And we are conducting two projects that are finishing September and December of this year, if I'm not mistaken. So we're looking, previously we had a bit of research on 59 installations for students and how we could engage them and how can we convince them to better use water. But now we have a project that is looking into engaging Dutch water users in water conservation with 1,500 participants focused on the showering habits and how that can be influenced. And another one that is dealing with children focusing on watering the garden plants. So, yeah.
Yeah. How did the students fare, just out of interest, on that project?
Yeah, it was good. We could, you know, appeal to their environmental consciousness and the ability to try and help the environment and eventually have a better, more inclusive, more sustainable society. And but as I said, it was done on 59 participants. Now we're talking 1,500, so we will get much better picture of how we could get people engaged in this. And you know, we're looking also how can we get people become citizen science, so that they can scientists, so that they can help us monitor droughts, for example. So that's another engagement. And through that, they can be more aware of the need for conservation. And
are the people also participating? Are they volunteers or?
Those are volunteers for the citizen science projects. We're looking for volunteers in the general public, but we're trying to keep a very kind of scientific approach that we try and get people from various kind of socioeconomic groups. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Are there any sort of other findings or insights that you can share from your research?
Well, yeah, basically what is happening, as I mentioned previously, I think that we are becoming more and more environmentally conscious as generally people in the UK and Europe. So the number of customers, for example, in the Netherlands that were saying that they are willing to save water has increased in 2 years, from 2018 to 2020, from 46% to 69%. So, you know, we're talking about almost three quarters of the population that we talk to. They said, hey, we're interested in water conservation.
Fantastic.
And they're also interested in future water availability, because that is also awareness increasing that the future may not be as plentiful in terms of water availability.
Great. Sounds like we're definitely heading in the right direction. So can we talk a little bit about sort of perhaps the future of water utilities? We see a lot of water companies are starting to commit to the net zero carbon by 2030. In your opinion, is this actually achievable?
It is achievable, even with the current technology that we have. I quite often think that the technology, yes, we need new things, better things, more efficient things, but essentially the technology is here. It's getting that engagement with the entire society, and that's why I think getting water utility or utility customers engaged is absolutely essential, because the view of the water utility of the past is if the utility was invisible to the customer, that means they're providing good service, because the customer doesn't know you exist and you are delivering high quality water. But those times have changed. Like any service industry, we need to engage, or the water industry needs to engage with customers. And I think that's what is going to happen. I think also that digitalization and digital transformation is going to be a huge kind of area of impact in the water sector, because other sectors have already implemented quite a lot of digital tools. Just think about banking, for example. Everybody has a banking app on their phones. Think about tourism, obviously not today due to the COVID situation, but you know, Airbnb completely changed the way tourism is organized. Uber as a taxi service changed that. So what is going to be the Uber for the water industry? Smart metering, I can imagine that is going to, it's already a big thing, but it's going to be almost universal by 2030, I imagine. So, you know, this net zero by 2030 and digitalization go hand in hand, in my view.
That's data at the center of that, isn't it?
Yes. In order for everybody, the society, the utilities, and the customer to make informed decisions, they need to have the data to know what they're doing, how they're performing, the customer to know how much they're spending, how much they're using, the utility to know what do they need to do, is the demand increasing, do they need new infrastructure, and the society to kind of put that into a framework of what are our societal goals? What do we aim as a society to achieve? You know, net zero or sustainable services, utilities in this case.
It's quite interesting. Earlier, you corrected yourself when you talked about the water conversation, and you corrected yourself and said conservation, but actually it is about having the conversation with the customers as well.
Yes, and those conversations can take various ways. So the interaction could be through digital means, and it could be, you know, through meeting people or people getting more organized in order to talk to their utility or find out what works best and how can they contribute to a more sustainable society.
Okay. And then obviously given Advisor's research and expertise in this area, do you see any opportunities for sort of collaboration between KWR and Advisor?
Oh, absolutely. I see many of those opportunities because we see Advisor as a leading organization working with utilities to better utilize their data, provide insights in consumption, add intelligence, and bring that behavioral science closer to practice. And in a way, at KWR, we are also interested in that with a different type of expertise that we have. We are involved in research projects that could benefit from that collaboration with Advisor. And I can see the link between the KWR interest and expertise in hydroinformatics and Advisor's in client behavior and the ways to nudge the customer towards more sustainable behavior. Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. Well, that's the end of the questions. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for the questions.